This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Nick Turturro here on the Rich Eisen Show. Round of applause for our friend.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
My fanship. I can't lose this guy. So, you know, if you don't sign Judge, I might be done.
Where are you going to go?
The Rich Eisen Show.
Nowhere. Nowhere.
Earlier on the show, UCLA athletic director Martin Jarmond, Pro Football Hall of Famer Warren Sapp. Still to come, Fox Sports college football analyst Joel Klatt. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Joel Klatt of Fox Sports is going to join us in about 20 minutes' time. It's a huge college football weekend. Huge. Large and in charge, because you've got not only Michigan hosting Penn State, you've got Alabama visiting Tennessee, and you got Syracuse taking on NC State.
Big game at the Dome this weekend.
Yeah, right?
I'm not kidding.
I know.
Actually, it's a huge game at the Dome this weekend.
Are
First top 20 game in a long time, I think, since my freshman year of college.
What are you thinking right now? Like, what's your... Because I know my approach to this Michigan season is figure out the starter, check that box.
Yep.
And then it's just like, get the team up to speed before Penn State without losing a game. Check that box.
Nice.
And now get past Penn State, go on a bye week, eviscerate Michigan State. When I say eviscerate, I mean there's not any, all wheels, no brakes, on the gas. I don't care if they're up by 50.
Eight wheels, no brakes.
All of it. Like, I don't care if they're up by 50. Michigan puts it on them. And then they stay healthy enough and get ready for Ohio State. And then we'll see what happens from then. That's my plan. TJ, I don't know what your plan for Penn State is.
Just to beat Michigan.
Okay, got it. Yeah. Understand. And that's a big game this weekend.
Yeah.
What's your plan for Syracuse? Like, what are you literally thinking right now about your team right now?
It's weird. I mean, this is the best that we've been in a few years, at least four. And I know we've got a great running game. Sean Tucker, awesome running back, one of the best we've had in a long time. But it was questions coming into the season was just like, who is our quarterback? Because it's been forever since we've had one, seemingly since Donovan McNabb. So the guy we got now, Garrett Trader, really good, efficient, which is great. He runs with the ball. And we have a big play. Aronde Gasson's son is our top wide receiver.
No, I'm not asking you to break down the game. What do you want? You want an ACC championship game appearance?
No. This is so unexpected.
Right, but
you're
now,
just kind of happy to
so
be.
So was my team last year
in the mix.
I'll be very honest
and
with
so
you.
You're
last
like,
year,
wow, we're ranked. Like, I can't believe that. We've got a really tough stretch coming up with NC State, Pitt, Clemson, Florida State, like all in a row. So
okay.
It's like, let's go 500 over this stretch. Let's keep it respectable. You don't want to start out 5-0 and then all of a sudden in a month we're 5-4. Like, that's kind of brutal. So the fact that we're here is exciting.
Yes.
It's kind of rallied the fan base a little bit and the alumni, which is awesome. I think it'll be sold out this weekend. And like let's just be respectable.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Because that's where we're at right now.
It's really fun to get the Syracuse chat going with some of my friends who we all went there because it's been a long time since we had anything to be excited about.
There you go. Normally, right now, you're wondering about how, you know, the basketball
right, we're ready for basketball
right.
season, yeah. And how I can trash Jim Boeheim publicly more because he should have retired 15 years ago.
Who? What coach do you love, Chris, that should not have retired by now? Just out of curiosity.
Well, right about now, I wish Brad Stevens had stuck around. But
well, that's understandable.
Okay. That's an interesting question that you just asked.
Well,
right,
you know, he wants Belichick to retire. He's a legend.
No,
he wants Boeheim to
he
retire.
He doesn't really feel that way about Belichick.
Rich, I can only go by what he says.
Stop I do it. Really feel this way about Boeheim, though. That is legit.
Yeah, I mean, you've told
that
me this
is,
for
that
a while.
Is legit.
Yeah, until the matchup zone knocks off three different teams in the NCAA tournament, and you suddenly wind up in the Elite Eight again.
Which is probably going to happen.
But we had Mike Hopkins just sitting there, like the coach and waiting forever, and then Jim was like, yeah, in 3 years I'll retire. And then 3 years came, he's like, you know what? I think I'm going to coach for another decade. It's like, dude, you know how far back you just set our program because of this?
Well, you know what this is setting up, right? Your new coach, Buddy Boeheim. That's where this is going.
He's going to hand the reins to Buddy.
Just, yeah.
Buddy,
lineage,
I got Knicks
man.
And chicks, please, and I got the team for you, huh?
Please,
buddy.
I think Buddy's trying to make the Pistons right now, but it's fine. I'm excited about the football team.
There you go. All right.
Big game this weekend.
Big game this weekend, indeed. I like it. Joel Klatt will be joining us. I hope you don't mind. I'm not planning on asking about Syracuse
It's totally
football.
Fine. Don't put the listeners to sleep. I totally get it.
Well, I hope we just haven't. I mean, we just literally spoke about it. But I'm interested in the fact that your team is up and running, and this is pretty cool about what your expectation level is.
It's exciting. It's been a long time, so it's nice to have some excitement around the football team.
You don't really care. You don't care. Like, if Michigan – You don't care. Deep down, you don't care. Like, if Penn State loses to Michigan this weekend, you're like, I'm going to watch the varsity on NBC on Sunday night.
I got to be honest with you. I'm at a point in life where, like, I just football games played by young men who most of all of them aren't able to legally drink. I don't allow that to ruin my week anymore. Like, I used to. You're right. I do care, but I don't care enough that it's going to ruin my weekend,
You didn't go to the school without saying you didn't go to the school right there.
I mean, that's fine.
Is
but
that
you
it?
Have to rest for as many people that are like you who are diehards. There's millions more like me who are just like that. You know how many people didn't go to college or don't have like relationships with college?
Some of those people are even more diehard about
some of them, but some of them are also very casual.
Del Tufo, who's not here today. Mr. Notre Dame.
Notre
Mr.
Dame.
Rudy himself. Get out of here.
I have everything ready.
Get out of here. Go back. Go root for Seton Hall.
But you're right. I
Fish McWilliams. Get the hell out of here.
Fish McWilliams.
There it is.
Yeah, I definitely tend not to let sports ruin my. I used to be bad, goodness. Bro.
I'm maturing. He's a mature.
I'm trying to mature.
Look at him. He's all grown up. And he's grown up. And he's grown up.
Yeah.
All grown up.
Whatever.
Like, you're going to be watching a game alone.
I am.
That's a little much, bro. You got to admit, that's a little... You kicked the kids out?
Excuse
you put the
me.
Wife on vacay?
I did not do anything. It's all coincidental.
Oh, just by chance.
It's coincidental. Okay? Now, I could... What, am I going to seek out, like a Michigan bar in town? Or am I going to go call up some Michigan friends that I haven't seen in a long time?
Because
I'd rather not. I'd rather just sit alone at home... That's it. That's all.
And by the way, let me just rephrase.
And by
something.
The way, put my phone away because I know the Big Ten refs are going to suck.
And you know Del Tufo's going to
so
text
hard.
You.
They're going to want to try and insert themselves in this game like they do damn near every single Big Ten game there is. Every single one of them. So I'm going to put the phone away and I'm just going to back off and I'm just going to make sure that I don't tweet anything stupid that I'm going to regret.
And also,
I fully admit to you that I do wonder sometimes at age 53 with three kids, nearing 20 years of marriage.
Like three jobs?
Having a lot going on, a lot of plates spinning, a lot on the ball, and a lot that to be proud of, that I do lose myself so significantly in a sporting event. But that's why... We love it.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
why we love it. Somebody for that.
That's why we love it. And I would be if Michigan loses to Penn State. I shouldn't even say that. I should be positively manifesting. But it will really affect me.
You feel good about the -7?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know he doesn't know what those words mean.
The temperature's not that cold, is it?
Should
I be concerned about the temperature?
52.
I didn't think the weather's going to be that bad.
52 is the temperature.
Oh, is that the temperature? 52?
A little windy.
Are you asking me if the temperature's going to be above or below 52?
It might be 50 and a half by game time if you're feeling...
Celsius?
Yeah, I would say that.
It would be real hot for Celsius. You're talking Fahrenheit.
Fahrenheit, yeah.
Also, I'd like to apologize because I made it seem like
you
would tell Susie to leave the house or something when I said you
get out of here.
And we all know that ain't going to be the case, so I apologize because you're not going to just like tell Susie to beat it.
Oh, Sarah would tell me to leave.
Well, that's different.
Yesterday, she was like, thank you for taking Cage outside during the stressful ninth inning of the Braves game yesterday.
And that was during the seventh inning.
Nice. Yeah, Sarah's on the show tomorrow.
Yeah. She's coming in, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No game tonight, so she'll be stress-free tomorrow.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. Because normally with Syracuse, it's Georgia football.
Was Cage
season.
Coming with her? That's the question.
Definitely not.
Oh, he'll be in school.
Definitely. Are you going to watch him during the night?
You know I would put him right here next to me.
My
we'd be chilling.
Gracious.
Look, we got a lot of running room
got
around
us up
here.
At 4 a.m.
All right, I'm going to flip the script here. You worried about your Cowboys on Sunday night?
Ooh.
No.
Why?
Because we've got, like I said, you keep saying house money, right?
Okay. Yes, sir.
If our record was different, I'd probably feel differently, but like
so you'll happily absorb the loss. Is that your 80th birthday present to Jerry Jones on the Rich Eisen show?
Absorb the loss to the Yardbirds, but I won't feel as depends on the outcome. To be completely honest with you, if it's a tight game and we play well and we lose, I'm fine. If we get blown out and I can pinpoint one reason, then I'd be upset. But I feel good about where we're at right now. So no, I don't think I'm going to be too upset, even though I would be upset.
Eagles go 6-0 over the 4-2 Cowboys. And let's just throw out there, even though I don't know if this is going to happen. Let's say the Ravens beat the Giants. Eagles wake up Monday morning with a 2-game lead in division just 6 weeks in.
I think that's probable.
Is that a dream scenario they would have signed for in a heartbeat?
Who wouldn't?
On Labor Day weekend? Hell yeah.
Yeah, the great thing is there's still a lot of football left to be played, though. That's awesome.
Yeah, a lot of football.
No, I know that, including an Eagles visit to Dallas and two Eagles-Giants games. Two.
I don't think the Giants are that good. I mean,
why do you say that? No, let's talk about it. Why? Why?
It seems like smoke and mirrors.
Is it Daniel Jones? Is that what it is? You just don't believe it?
I think that's it.
He hasn't really made a single play.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? He made a ton of first down runs against Green Bay in London. He continued so many of those drives. Saquon went out of the game, and Daniel Jones kept chains moving.
They beat two teams who are going to be picking in the top five.
They beat the Titans in week one.
And then we don't really know who the Titans are.
We know who the Titans are. They're the team that's going to win that division. You and I both know that.
I think
what do you think?
All of a sudden,
I know that it's Jonathan Taylor's back at practice today. Come on, man. Come on.
You really have that much confidence in the Titans?
I sure do. You bet I do. They're on a bye, and then they come back home for Indy at Houston. That Kansas City game is going to be something. Home for Denver at Green Bay on a Thursday night. That's going to be dynamite. Cincinnati, they're at Philly, too. How great is that game?
The Giants could easily lose the next three games.
Dude, come on. You really think the Colts are going to get it together enough? They already won in Indianapolis. And by the way, they're coming off the bye, and they could sweep the Colts on the spot right coming off the bye and sweep them.
Okay, yeah.
Back to the Giants. Back to the Giants. I mean, sure, they lost to Dallas at home. I get it. But the games that they normally would blow in the past, they're winning. They're winning. The proverbial games they're supposed to win are the games they haven't won in years.
More than 20 points only one time. They scored 20 week one. They can't score.
Well, we're gonna see, and they got some tough games coming up at Seattle. At Jacksonville Jacksonville's defense gets after it
down there, man.
I know.
And they got all their division games, and they're at Minnesota.
So earlier on when I said playoffs or what, you're or what on the Giants, and I said playoffs?
I don't see the Giants.
So who else makes it?
From where?
The NFC. You're taking somebody from the South over the Giants? You're taking someone from the West over the Giants? Because the Packers, I think we're all assuming two are coming from the North, and that's it, Vikings and Packers. Who else? And the Cowboys and Eagles, that's another one. Who's the third chair occupied by when the music stops in the NFC? You don't like the NFC West. You already think the Rams are out. You think the Cardinals are going to start putting it together?
I think the Cardinals are pretty good.
Over the Giants.
And I think the Saints could be pretty good if Jameis is healthy.
Oh, boy. I'll take the Giants over those two. I'll take them. I'll take him because, everybody poops on Daniel Jones. Go for it. And Saquon is no joke. He is back. How many times is he running and breaking runs against these tough defenses like Dallas and Green Bay?
He looks great. He looks great, and I couldn't be more happy for him. But there's not been a lot of evidence lately that he's going to put together a full 17-game season.
Well, he's a third of the way through, isn't he? Third of the way through.
And who's catching the football?
That's a good question. I'm concerned about that.
Like, why is Kadarius Toney not playing?
I don't understand.
And why can't
Kenny Galladay.
Kenny Galladay needs to be investigated for grand larceny.
Well, I'm still taking the Giants and Daboll and the rest of what they're doing.
Love Daboll. I think
culture. But you're taking him over Cliff Kingsbury and Dennis Allen.
I like the talent more on those two teams.
I don't know how you're talking about the team that is currently seventh on my power rankings like that. How dare you?
For what?
Yeah. Oh, what? Nice.
7, then you don't have the other 4-win team in your top 10.
Okay. Okay.
Just pointing out a fact.
I understand what you're pointing out. They're my power rankings.
There are many like it.
There are, but this one is mine. Man, like I said, we got Bills and Chiefs. That my power rankings, that's 1-3. Eagles and Cowboys, 2-5. Let's go. Let's ride. And 6-7, Ravens, Giants. We're going to find out if my power rankings are accurate or not. By the way, I say that knowing the winner stays where they are, if not moves up, and the loser doesn't go too far down.
Right, that's the way you don't penalize people for winning or losing.
That's correct. Not significantly.
What are we doing there?
You can listen to the NFL and the NFL app on the Odyssey app on WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station Streams or just by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, sponsored by AutoZone. When we come back, our friend from Fox Sports, a man who has called the last 3 Michigan games on the Big Noon Fox kickoff and is getting set to call a 4th in a row. Joel Klatt calling Michigan and Penn State. We'll talk to him about Alabama, Tennessee, and more when we return. What's the fastest ball sport in the world? Not baseball, not tennis. It is, in fact, the sport of Jaialai, spelled J-A-I-A-L-A-I. Originating in the Basque region of Spain and played professionally in the U.S., most notably in the 1980s, Jaialai's making an unprecedented comeback. The ball reaches speeds of 150 miles an hour. The action is intense and the danger factor is high. 6-person teams of professional athletes play the sport at the Magic City Fronton in Miami, Florida. I invite you to check out all the action Monday and Tuesday at 5 p.m. and Friday night at 7 p.m. Go to HighlineWorld.com or download the free Highline app in the App Store. This sport, with its intensity and athleticism, is well worth watching. Check out all the action at HighlineWorld.com. Matches are played similar to tennis, with a player or team required to win 2 sets to win a match. Each set is played up to 6 points. It's a sport you need to check out. HighlineWorld.com, Monday and Tuesday at 5 p.m., Friday at 7 p.m.
Influencer. It's a word that gets tossed around a lot these days. There is a woman who went the distance, who broke ground as the first true influencer by living a remarkable life. Her name, Elizabeth Taylor. I'm Katy Perry. This is the story of the original influencer. This is Elizabeth the First. Elizabeth the First, the podcast, wherever you listen.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let's talk NetSuite, folks. 2008, 2022. When it comes to the economy, these are some scary years. Roller coaster we're going through right now. That's the 2022, the dot-com crash, the housing crash of years ago. One thing that you can do to make life a little bit more certain for your business is to join NetSuite by Oracle. Over 31,000 businesses have the confidence and clarity they need because they do rely on NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. What NetSuite does is it gives you visibility and control of your financials, inventory. Brockman uses it for the HR part of the Rich Eisen
Absolutely.
Show. Planning, budgeting. You can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need all in one place. That's how you prepare for the uncertain times we're living in. So what are you waiting for? Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/richradio right now. netsuite.com/richradio. netsuite.com/richradio. I have enjoyed this man's football calls for years. Not just saying that because I sit next to him on Friday nights of NFL drafts this past year and previous, because he joins the NFL Network's draft coverage every Friday night over the last couple of years, as a matter of fact. I think his first time was the Daniel Jones draft in Nashville.
I believe you're
That's
correct.
Right.
I believe you're right.
Because he came on the next day and trashed it. He did. He and Gus Johnson have the call of yet another Michigan game, 4 games in a row for them on Big Fox, their noon kickoff, Michigan and Penn State. Joining us on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line, friend of the program, Joel Klatt, back here from Fox Sports. How you doing, Joel?
I'm great. How are you doing, bud?
I'm doing great. Last time I saw you was in Vegas, where we saw people have residencies and casinos across the street and all around us for the NFL draft. Do you feel like, are you the blue man group of Ann Arbor, Michigan right now? Is that what you are?
Yeah,
what's going on?
I'm most likely. I just am not compensated as well as the blue man group in Vegas. So I think their residency is been more lucrative than mine.
I guess I should have said, I just blew the line. The Mazin Blue Man Group. That's what you are.
There you go.
Hey, now. Yeah.
Now you're working.
Fourth straight appearance for Michigan on the big noon Fox game. And this is the biggest one of the four, without a doubt. Clearly, it goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. How do you see the Michigan-Penn State matchup going down this week? Joel, going
on. I think it is a fabulous matchup. I think they're very evenly matched. I love the changes that Penn State has made since last year. You know, they struggled last year after starting. This is the second straight year we've seen them inside the top 10, 5-0, you know, to begin the year. And last year they just didn't have the staying power because they didn't have the depth at quarterback. They suffered some injuries on the defensive line. And honestly, you know, their offense never materialized because of their inability to run the ball. And they've corrected all of those issues. And this is a much better team than I saw in the middle of the year a year ago. They can run the ball really well, Rich, with two young freshman running backs. Nick Singleton was the number one running back in the country in last year's recruiting cycle. He signs with Penn State, and he's really transformed them and their offense. And what he's done is he's allowed a veteran quarterback in Sean Clifford to really be more of a game manager rather than having to be the catalyst as a playmaker in their offense. And he manages the game pre-snap now as good as anybody out there, gets them into the right play, and I think that's where he's best, and he's flourishing. On the other side, what I can't wait to see is the next gear from Michigan. And this is the problem doing three straight Michigan games. They haven't had to go to even really fourth gear, Rich. You know, even tied at 10 at half last week, it was such an emotional experience because of what was happening with their coach, Mike Hart, who is their running back coach. If you don't know, Mike Hart had a seizure last week on the sidelines in Indiana. And they, you know, they had a hard time getting over that emotionally in the first half, and rightly so, by the way. But we haven't had to see them as a team really go into that even fourth gear or certainly even fifth gear. And what I can't wait to see is, does this team have that gear? Where are the wrinkles? Where are the little change-ups? And, you know, we think that J.J. McCarthy, their quarterback, can take them to the next level offensively because of his potential. We just haven't seen it yet. And I think that we'll have to see it this week if they want to win the game.
Why haven't we seen it yet, Joel? Why?
Well, I don't think that they've needed to. And, you know, I'm sure they're so rich. You know, we joke about like, oh, you know, I'm taking up residency. These coaches are like, get out of here. You know, because they keep getting asked by the media, local media, about things that I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, so and you know, of course, because I questioned the fact that they have two play callers, you know, and then last week I said, hey, you know, they've got some real tendencies on offense. But the part of that is that they haven't had to break them. They haven't needed to go there. And so why break them? Why put things on film that you can save for when you absolutely need them? I think that's a big reason. And then I think also the natural maturation of a young quarterback. J.J. McCarthy is really talented, and he is beginning to learn how to be a starting quarterback and not just a spot guy that goes in. Yeah, everyone tells me, like, well, he's experienced. He played last year. Yeah, but it's so different when you're the starter. The pressure, the yoke that you carry of the team is heavy. It's burdensome. And he is learning how to deal with that. More specifically, he's learning how to complete the ball down the field. He got a little better last week, but that's certainly going to have to increase if they want to take the next step, be explosive, be a creative and innovative offense, and still have the ability to beat you up in the inside running the football, which they've been able to do very well.
Well, you know the drill, Joel Klatt. Certainly from the perspective that I have and the rest of the Michigan fan base, is every time I watch them, I just look for team speed. I look for who could replace Hutchinson and Ajabo, and they do have some pass rushers who have shown some significant ability over the past several weeks, and Blake Corum looks fast, and the offensive line looks like they can protect, but everything is seen through the prism of whether they can go into the horseshoe in November and shock the world a second time. And I understand this is Penn State is very significant opponent, top 10 and all that. But what do you see? I mean, you mentioned Penn State is vastly improved from last year. Would you say the same thing about Michigan, Joel?
You know what's so interesting is that both of these teams, that's how their fan base views them. You know, it's like it's all well and good, all these other games, yep. But it's like, but can you beat each other? And that's what's so great about the Big Ten East, because I think that that's the same with Penn State. And Rich, candidly, Michigan fans are also sick of me. Why? Because that's the lens with which I analyze them. So if I'm doing their game against Maryland, let's say, a few weeks ago, and people are like, well, why are you so effusive of your praise in you know, for Maryland, and you have these small criticisms for Michigan? Well, it's because of the level of expectation I have and we all have of each program. Maryland is trying to answer some questions and get to a point where they are bowl eligible, eight wins. And so when they're making strides in those departments, I see it, and I'm going to say as such. When Michigan has small things that could prevent them from being Ohio State, that's what we're all going to latch on to because that's the expectation. See, everything is in this sport is derived, and I'm talking about the college board, is derived through the lens of expectation. And that's vastly different than in the NFL when everybody has the same expectation. You either go to the playoffs or you don't in the NFL. It's a very different set of expectations for every program based on the vast array of programs and potentials of programs that we have in college football. Now, having said that, I do think Penn State is much better. I do think Michigan can be better, which is it's hard to convince people of that because they lost Hutchinson and Ajabo. However, I thought that their offense last year was very good and very sound, but they didn't have the next gear to go and compete with a Georgia, compete with a playoff team. Now, they were able to beat up Ohio State and more power to them. But what they've done over the last few years, and I think that you would agree with me on this, they have evolved. I think Jim Harbaugh has evolved. What you saw 5 years ago from Michigan was a very stubborn offense and a specific style of defense, which was going to lead you to 9 or 10 wins. But those schematics and styles were never going to be in the vein that would really threaten Ohio State. Now, they got close 1 year, and they had really good players, but you just got the sense. I was doing a game, 2018, Rich, in the shoe, when Michigan rolls in there favored. They've won 10 in a row and got absolutely run out of the building because they didn't have the speed necessary to cover Ohio State. They've changed the schematics. They've changed the style of player. This defense is much more suited to play at the top end of college football because of the athleticism and speed that they put on the field, in particular in the back two levels. They've got good edges, maybe not quite as good as they did last year, but Mike Morris, Yabi Oki, these two guys can rush the quarterback. They're very good. They're big in the middle with Mozzie Smith over 300 pounds, Mason Graham, a freshman, over 300 pounds. They're athletic and versatile at linebacker with a guy like Junior Colson, who I think in 2 years we're going to be talking about, Rich, at the desk and God knows where, as a first-round draft pick, potentially, as a linebacker. And then they got three safeties that are really versatile players and can tackle in space. So defensively, they're much better. And then offensively, they at least have the potential to be both explosive and powerful in the run game.
Lead college football analyst Joe Klatt from Fox Sports here on the Rich Eisen Show. And I said at the top of my program today, Joel, that this is an incredible football weekend. You got the Eagles and the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football, and you've got the Bills and the Chiefs playing right before that. And then the day before, you've got 5 versus 10 in Michigan and Penn State, and you got 3 versus 6 with Alabama going to Tennessee. How about the Vols and their ability to maybe just say, hey, you were all talking about Georgia and Alabama and Texas A&M and Alabama, and everybody's paying attention to Brian Kelly showing up in LSU. How about us? Do you think Tennessee's got the real stuff here, Joel? What do you think?
I mean, I can't believe, like, you just don't make a living picking or betting against Nick Saban, right? Like, that's just, it's so dumb. And all week I've been sitting here, I'm like, what am I doing? But the bottom line is, I think it's a bad matchup for Alabama, Rich. Like, I can't get it out of my head. Here's the reason why.
Okay.
It's because even if Bryce Young plays, which I think he's going to, I think it's going to be really important for Alabama to be able to run the ball to take some of the pressure off of Young as he's coming back from injury. He can't just be Superman for the entirety of the game. And that's all well and good, and you could say, well, they're dominant in the run game. Look at what they did against Texas A&M a week ago, 51 rushes, 5.5 per carry. Yeah, that's great. Texas A&M is the last-ranked rush defense in the SEC. They're about to face the second-best rush defense in the SEC. So I think it's going to be much more difficult for them to run the ball, which is going to be more in line with what we saw, you know, for the first three quarters against Texas. They also, Alabama, they're not great on the road, which is a bit surprising, but this is now kind of a two-year history of this. Last year, in their first road game against Florida, they barely eked that one out. They lost to Texas A&M, went to four overtimes against an Auburn team that I didn't think was very good. This year, that close game, a one-point win against Texas, and really it was Bryce Young and some missed calls that allowed them to win that game. So they're not great on the road. This environment is going to be the toughest of any of those. Neyland is going to be on fire. And the last thing would be, if you're going to beat Alabama, you better create some explosive passing plays and opportunities. And there's only one team in the country that is more explosive throwing the ball down the field than Tennessee. Tennessee has the second most 30-yard completions in the country, only to Ohio State, who we all know is the best offense in the country. So this is a bad matchup for Alabama, and even though they're favored by 7, and I feel like an absolute crazy person, I think Tennessee wins the game.
Joel Klatt, you know what you've just done, Joel? You could say what you've just done is cogent, sound, heartfelt analysis, but what you've just dispensed really is yummy rat poison. That's what you just did. Yummy rat poison is what you just, you could term it, those three words. Yummy rat poison is what Nick Saban might call what you just dispensed.
I hear you. But for him, it's like beautiful rat poison because it's headed in the other direction.
It's the that's what he calls like yummy rat poison. The rat poison he doesn't like is you saying Alabama's going to win this thing by 40 or, you know. But you just dispensed the yummy rat poison, man. And you're right. You can't make a living betting against Nick Saban or saying that Nick's, you know, on the wrong end of a good matchup when it's not involving Georgia. But you look at Tennessee and you see them and you're wondering why not? Like, this is one of those why not now games. Why not?
Well, and
why not
and
now?
I personally think watching Hendon Hooker, I think he's going to be.
Yeah.
Top three or four pick,
huh.
You know, when we're in Kansas City.
Okay.
Rich.
All right. Look at you. And before I let you go, let's talk a little bit about drafts and things of that nature and what we've already seen play out, Joel Klatt, since you and I, along with Daniel Jeremiah and the brilliant Charles Davis, who will definitely be having his eyes peeled on what's going on in Tennessee against Alabama.
Oh, there's no doubt.
So what if I told you, I said like a 30 for 30, if I had told you when we were parting ways that Friday night at the draft in Vegas, Bailey Zappi's going to throw the first rookie touchdown pass of the NFL season and be the first rookie winning starting quarterback of the season. How about them apples, right? I mean,
I certainly wouldn't have guessed that.
You would not have gone to the tables with me. You would not have gone to the tables with me that night.
No,
in Vegas.
That's exactly right. That wouldn't have piqued my interest. I don't think that we could have even gotten odds on that one, Rich.
Crazy. It really is crazy. But we did see Breece Hall. Now, we were talking about him that Friday night, and we just saw him with .197 of total scrimmage yards. What do you think of the rookie class, about what we've seen so far through the first 5 weeks of the NFL campaign?
I think that they've been pretty darn good. And you could probably say, and I know that there's a lot of attention being paid to Aiden Hutchinson and maybe his lack of productivity early. But, you know, I thought that, you know, even Thibodeau, he played well last week.
Yes.
He's getting his feet wet. And obviously there was a lot of talk about him leading into last year's draft.
Yes.
Well, where does he fall and this or that? But he seems to have assimilated incredibly well into the culture of the NFL, and in particular there in New York. Walker's done well. But the guys that we all kind of pegged as like, oh yeah, like this is a really good pick. And I bring up Breece Hall specifically. This is exactly what we thought he was going to be, a back that after he got his feet wet was going to very quickly be a back that could carry the load for even an NFL team early in his career, and we're seeing that early. Yeah. I think it's been a pretty good rookie class, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I know. And then Pickett, you know, I don't know, you might have been traveling back from Indiana or something like that, but Pickett, even though in his first start the Steelers got waxed by the Bills, I mean, just him getting up, and I don't know if you saw that, he got in Shaq Lawson's face, and the team was shoving everyone else off of him, and the offensive line came to his aid on the spot. I don't know. There's something about this kid that even though he got waxed in his first career start, that there is something there, my two cents,
well,
seeing that.
Here's what I thought when I saw, like, Pickett versus, you know, Trubisky, is that I don't think Pittsburgh's great. First of all, right? So, like, if you go from that starting point, it just looked like with Trubisky, you're just kind of dying a slow death. And with Pickett, at least he's swinging while they're going down. Does that make sense? Like, there's some fight there. And yes, you're going to deal with mistakes, but there's just a little bit more fire there than with the other quarterbacks. I kind of like it. I kind of love it because this guy is going to battle, and I still think he's pretty dang good. And we'll see, you know, what he can do the rest of the year.
And then tonight on Thursday Night Football, Joel, we've got Carson Wentz going for Washington, and Ron Rivera, even though he said it was a mea culpa moment and he backtracked or apologized or said, you know, my bad, I didn't mean to create a distraction. When asked the difference between the rest of the NFC East and his team, he said quarterback. And he stared down, just like he didn't, with a stare like I didn't stutter. And so I'm wondering, Sam Howell, is he a guy that you think we might see here? You get a sense of anything? What do you think, Joel? What do you think of that?
Wentz, I didn't think Wentz was the problem last week, you know? And, you know, I trust a lot of good people in the NFL, and they all told me that, like, hey, Wentz was one of their best attributes last week. And granted, I think that the turnovers and the time that they happen are magnified. And I think that that's absolutely the case. But in a large degree, he was the only reason that they were in that position to begin with. And so I don't think we're getting close to that. I thought that Ron Rivera was way out of line based on what happened in the game. And, you know, you go from there because he was trying to talk about, oh, they've been established and this and that around the other parts of the division. And I'm like, Cooper Rush, I don't know. I kind of felt like I was taking crazy pills. It's like, am I Mugatu here? Like, is this Cooper Rush is not like a foundational piece for Dallas. Am I wrong?
No, you are correct. And Daniel Jones, you know, our guy together, when you came on this show after the draft, where he was drafted, saying this is going to set the Giants back a few years, and you were right up until Daboll's arrival, right? I mean, look at him.
Daboll has infused an amazing amount of confidence and you know, continuity with that offense, and I think that we would be remiss if we didn't say the other biggest part of what's happened offensively is that you've got a creative offensive mind that's given you a really good game plan. And part of that is that their best offensive player and most dynamic player, Saquon Barkley, is healthy.
He's back.
And when that happens, boy, it becomes easier to play quarterback.
No doubt. Hey, man, enjoy Ann Arbor again. And don't listen to my friends in the Michigan fan base, man. Don't listen to them. You and Gus are great. I love it. And even, honestly, even watching that Indiana game where it was so damn frustrating watching the mistakes and the Big Ten refs, you were so spot on to call them over their skis during some of those calls, and they were flag happy, which is what Gus called them. But even when it's just looking bleak for my team, Gus dropped the line. If someone was cool as a fan, and I just laughed out loud, man. It was just, you guys together are a great watch, great listen, and you just keep being you, man. You just go for it.
That.
Absolutely.
Well, we'll have some fun this weekend. It'll be a good one. I can't wait.
Well, I hope to be laughing, to be very honest with you, at the very end. So, Joel, fly safe, be well, say hi to Ann Arbor. Oh, by the way, the 97 team's going to be back together to be honored in this game.
Oh, they got all sorts of stuff going on. It's a maze out. It's going to be all yellow. I mean, they're throwing the book at Penn State. You know it's a big one because Michigan doesn't do this a lot.
That's
right?
True.
Like other schools always do these hype and fanfare type of things. Michigan doesn't do that a lot. Why? Because they're Michigan, right? And they're going to get 110,000 regardless. But, man, they're throwing the book. They got the 97 team back. It's a maze out. They're doing a halftime show. So it should be a raucous environment.
Enjoy it, Joel. You take care. Best to Gus and everybody else on the crew. That's Joel Klatt, lead college football analyst, at Joel Klatt on Twitter. I follow him. You should as well, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Oh, yeah. All set for college football this weekend, no doubt about that. When we come back, Tom Brady had his weekly press availability moments ago. He was asked once again about that roughing the passer call that he was the beneficiary of. And we set up tomorrow's Dynamite program that now has a playoff game being played during it. This NFL season, every Westwood One NFL broadcast streams live for free Mondays, Thursdays, Sunday nights, Thanksgiving, and Christmas triple headers, the international series, and every postseason game. Tom Brady spoke today. Last time we heard from him on the subject matter of Grady Jarrett and being called for roughing him in a game that was going to be particularly dicey for him because it looked like they were about to punt the ball back until Jerome Boger says, "Your throwing around of Tom Brady is illegal, sir." And Brady said, "I don't throw the flags."
He doesn't.
He's correct about that, actually.
I've never seen Tom Brady throw one flag.
That's true. Here's Tom Brady today. Roll tape.
I don't think the referees are robots. I don't think they're trying to get it wrong. I don't think they're always going to get it right. You know, I feel bad for a guy when they get called something that probably shouldn't be that way. And sometimes you just got to shake it off. You know, I've lost Super Bowls because I thought they missed a call, you know. So, I don't know. You go, all right, well, you're going to get some. You're going to not get some. And you hope they don't come up, but they come up. It's sports. So the fact that everyone wants to talk about it like it's something new, it's always been like that. So just do the best you could do. You try to keep it in your hands the best way you can. And if you get an unfortunate thing that happens, it's unfortunate. It really is. And I don't think anyone's trying to scheme anyone out of that. Or it's just the way sports are. I miss throws, refs miss calls, you know, but we try to do the best we can do. And when they don't go your way, you just complain to the refs like I do. So.
You know everybody's going to pick up on that last part, too.
I've had calls lose me Super Bowls.
Just complain to the refs, and you get your flag because you're the GOAT.
He's also had calls that helped him win Super Bowls, too. So
yeah, but those were correctly interpreted.
Oh, okay.
Exactly what they were. It was. That was the rule, and they...
This is so unnecessary. Just review the damn thing. There are people who are sitting there watching on 4K, parsing everything with editing equipment and ability to scrub back and forth. Facts. Come on. This is so unnecessary. It is so unnecessary. They won't switch it in the middle of the season. So for next season, let's do it.
Get it right.
Good Lord. That Chris Jones play.
That's ridiculous.
And the NFL needs to prepare for this sort of stuff. They have to. You know why the whole Dez caught it controversy happened? It's because the NFL had never seen an individual so incredibly big and tall and physical that you could not only just make a catch, but also gain enough yardage to move a chain for a first down with two strides and then reach for the end zone and the ball comes loose. No one had ever seen the whole process of a catch go over the span of 10 yards before. Nobody's ever thought that somebody 340, or as he then said, 320 pounds, could then sack a guy and take a ball away from him in the same process. We've never seen that before. Who'd ever seen anybody do what Chris Jones did before? Now you got to, the process of removing the ball from him is akin to the same process of throwing it. He's technically in a defenseless passing posture as he's face front on the ground because he's been sacked. So stupid. So very unnecessary. All of it. Fix it. Good God.
Can we go back and fix the Dez thing? Or no? Was that passed?
It was by a rule, by interpretation, still the process of the catch, even though he took two strides and it took 10 yards for him to actually get down on the ground and also have the presence of mind and physical prowess to try and reach the ball for the end zone.
I might cry.
Facts. But no one ever seen anything like that before, so you couldn't interpret that that was still the process of a catch? Of course it's not. He's actually running with the ball, but he's still in the process of catching it because he had the physical ability to do that and also reach out for the end zone. No one's really ever seen that before.
I blame Mike McCarthy for that. Because he threw the flag.
He's not your coach.
Yeah, was he your current coach?
Yeah. He's savvy enough to throw in the flag. You got that on. So you got that going for you.
Yeah, thanks.
You know what we got tomorrow? We got the Yankees versus Guardians right in the middle of the second hour of this program.
No way, really?
Yeah. First pitch, 1:07 p.m. Eastern time. Nice. While they canceled tonight's game. You know what that also means is Shane Bieber will only get one start.
Bieber.
So, because game five is going to be on Monday, if there is one. So you're not going to go on 2 days rest,
yeah,
are you?
You mean Monday days. Or game five, if there is one? You mean game five? There will be a Monday,
By the way, if there's a Monday, it's Monday.
I would hope there's Monday.
Yeah, I'm hoping so.
I'm hoping there's Monday.
Why?
Well, because
that means we made it through the weekend.
Oh, okay.
We're still alive like Eddie Vedder.
Yeah, I'm hoping there's a Monday.
I do hope there's a Monday.
Like Kyle Shanahan. Like,
I mean, yeah, I mean,
we could be. We might not, you know.
I hope we're alive.
We got two games. Oh, we got a game right now in about 35 minutes.
Mariners Astros.
Why don't they just push that back to tonight?
Tonight. Tell Houston folks, you know, smoke them if you got them. We're going to move it back.
Take the rest of the day off.
Come out to the coast.
Enjoy yourself.
Can't do that to the people of Houston. Can't do that.
Will there be more than 21 points scored tonight, and will we get a touchdown?
How dare you ask me such questions?
I'm making fun of last week.
More importantly,
last week was 12-9 with no touchdowns.
More importantly, will Scott Servais remove his closer to put a starter in today?
Jeez. That ball's still going.
It is. I think it hits you in the head. That'll wrap it up. Brandon Staley of the Chargers and Sarah Tiana in studio. That's our Friday show. Back on Roku in a sec.
Ross Matthews talks to celebrities, friends, and people with interesting stories to tell. Who's saying, hello, Ross, this week? Chelsea Handler.
I'm not home enough to have a third dog. My housekeeper basically is their parent. I'm not going to get another dog so that she has to take care of another dog until one of these dogs exits.
It's a good move. I have three rescue dogs and only two hands. And when you're one person, that's too hard to do. I recommend two max, okay?
Use your foot, Ross.
Hello, Ross. Available on YouTube or wherever you listen.